And people say, why don't you do a series of messages on the history of the presidents of the United States? I said, well, that's going to be a lot of work. Boy, but what you tell us, we don't hear in any book. We don't read in any book. We don't hear in any classroom. We don't hear this stuff. Well, I have been a student of all types of things. We talk about George Washington. And one of the things I talked about George Washington, he was a chicken fighter. He was a famous chicken fighter. And I used to raise, well, I still raise game chickens. And I raise, I had silver duck wings, golden duck wings, and blacks and reds and blues and all kinds of stuff. And I studied the history of the game strains. And here I run into Andrew Jackson, and I run into all of these leaders about American government, you know, all these ones. And George Washington was a very royal type man. But you have to realize that raising game chickens back then was a royal, it was a, fighting chickens and raising chickens was a sport of kings. And so I read all of this, and I read about his white hackles and his grays, his silver duck wings that he raised and all of this. And people from all over the world would come and fight chickens in Washington, D.C., well, in New York one time. And then you have all of these game strains all over, the Boston Roundheads, the Blues, whatever, all of these are different games. But they all go back to things like this, and I bring things out like this in here, and people say, wow, they didn't know that. Well, you study, I've studied Old West history. I can tell you a lot about the Old West, about the gunfighters and the politicians and the sheriffs and just the average man, because my family all took part of that. They all took part in that. The last message that I did was on John Quincy Adams, which was one of the greatest presidents America ever had. And people say, boy, you know, they'll just, and of course now on ham radio, I've got big amplifiers and good radios and big antennas. Now when I get out there, sometimes people start trying to jam me because they're nuts. But when you got enough power and you got enough gain on an antenna, they're going to hear you all over anyway. And I'll unkey, I'll ID N7IU every now and then and stuff like that. I'll hear somebody jamming. And then I'll say, don't worry, we can hear you over everything. Just keep on talking, you know. And so I do. Well, when I started teaching these classes, and this is number 7 here, this one is, Maryland just said, wow, they didn't teach me that in school. Did they teach you this in school, Maryland?
What?
Did they teach you this in school?
No.
And I get letters and emails from all over the country and Europe and saying, wow, this is great. This is wonderful. You know, they're learning things. And I'm doing this. The main reason is America has made a lot of mistakes. And mankind have made a lot of mistakes. And if we're a fool, we'll repeat them because we don't know history. We just had one of the greatest presidents America ever had that half of America hated and half of America loved. Donald Trump. And his life was so much like John Quincy Adams' life. John Quincy Adams was the most learned One of the most learned presidents we ever had. Donald Trump was a great businessman and an organizer. We had Ronald Reagan, that was the great communicator. And there was a lot of problems in his administration because he got the Bush family involved. They're crooked. Crooked people. And they got him in trouble. And they covered up all their problems. So we have bad guys, Republicans, and we have bad guys, Democrats. And we got good Democrats, and we got bad Democrats. We got good Republicans, and we got bad ones. You don't have to be a Democrat or Republican to be bad or good. That's the thing. All the Republican Party is not bad, and all the Republican Party is not good. All the Democratic Party is not bad, and all the Democratic Party is not good. We have these people. We can look back and we can learn from them. Learn what they did. Learn about the people that built America and learn about the people that are trying to destroy America. The one thing about it is you've got to love America to want to build America. That's one thing. You've got to be proud of your heritage. Now, here I am, a red savage. You know, I'm Indian. My children are 44.3% Indian, if they're from me, because I'm 88.6% Indian. I have 1/32 Scots, which I'm proud of that. Scots, part of my family. That's Rand Paul, Ron Paul, and John Paul Jones. And they were all Pauls in history have been go-getters, good or bad or indifferent. Napoleon said if he'd had John Paul Jones as his admiral, that he could have whipped the world. Because he said he was undefeatable. And American Navy was founded by John Paul Jones, basically. His name was John Paul. Jones was at it because he killed his first mate, and he put Jones on the end of it so he could be, it's not John Paul anymore. And they established from Scotland, they established areas in New York and in North Carolina. And the brothers. Mine go way back to then, John Paul Jones's brothers and nephews, etc. So some of those guys are pretty proud to be related to. And then you have outlaws in your family, don't you? We all have outlaws. Some families, they have really one son that is a whole herd of black sheep. He's a whole herd of black sheep in himself. John Adams, his stepson. Not John Adams, but Madison, James Madison. His stepson was a bad boy. There was nothing he could do to make him a good boy. He was a bad boy, and he was a bad boy till he died, and he just destroyed the family fortune. Of course, we don't have cover-ups back then like we do now. Because we got one in there right now that's a bad boy, don't we? He's been a bad boy all his life, and he just gets covered up. Everything he does gets covered up, and everything. Well, they didn't have all this, but we had bad boys back then. And how the world and history dealt with those bad boys or tried to cover it up. Well, John Quincy Adams was one of the most honorable presidents we ever had. And we're going to go from him into Andrew Jackson, that is, which was a scoundrel. But he did some good things. He did good things. He wasn't all bad, but he did some horrible things. Now, we talked about John Quincy Adams. His father was John Adams. His father was a little bit intolerant to criticism, and he made the and there we have this again to America today. We want to have a cancel culture. We want to cancel out all the conservatives because they're all bad. You know what's going on right now? If you're a conservative, if you're a Trump supporter, you're bad. You're bad. That's terrible. Well, John Adams put in the Alien Sedition Act. And anybody, any newspaper that wrote against him, of course now we got all the big five supporting the Democratic Party and the absolute extreme Democratic Party into communism, not socialism, communism. See, communism, in socialist countries you have freedom of speech, don't you? Usually, unless you call Russia, you know, USSR, United Soviet Socialist Republic, it's not socialist, it is communism. There's a lot of difference between socialism and communism. Britain, Australia, France, Germany, all these people are socialist people. They're socialist societies. But do you ever hear about protest in England? Protest here, protest there. They're fighting in their parliament and all that kind of stuff. They can sit up there and argue. John Adams didn't allow that. He didn't allow that. You argued against him, you wrote something against him, you went to prison and you were fined. And now, maybe we might even repeat that sin. Huh. It happened before in America. I could write to you the men that were in prison and what the fines they gave. We did that. You just go back and listen to John Adams, the one on John Adams. But John Adams did some good things. John Adams was a great scholar, and he was a brilliant man, and he was an honest politician. He was good in that way. And John Quincy Adams would have been a whole lot better. A whole lot better. Now, today, they want to take the name of Jefferson and Washington off of the national monuments and everything because they owned slaves. Well, there were more American Indian slaves in America than there ever were black slaves. I can guarantee you that right now. That's fact, historical fact. But you don't hear it. Thomas Jefferson married a black girl. It was his wife's half-sister. Now, he couldn't marry her in a church or anything like that, but he had 6 kids by her. Sally Hemings is who I'm talking about. But you have to realize that Sally Hemings looked like a white girl. She didn't look black. In the movie, with the Jefferson's life and everything, they have a black girl playing this girl that's playing Sally Hemings. Sally Hemings didn't look like that. Sally Hemings could class for white. She was only 1/4 black. Thomas Jefferson's father-in-law had taken a half-black girl for a concubine, and he had at least 6 slaves by her. And they were all 3/4 white, the kids were. Thomas Jefferson married his wife, and when Thomas Jefferson's father, John Wythe, when he died, all of his slaves were given Thomas Jefferson. There was over 100 slaves, but 6 of those slaves were related to his wife. They were half brothers and half sisters. Did you know this? Thomas Jefferson lived with Sally Hemings from the time he was in France. And he had 6 children by her. Her brothers and sisters that belonged to Thomas Jefferson were all set free. Thomas Jefferson had a big plantation, you know, and he had 6 children by this black girl. They say black. She was only 1/4 black. That's Sally Hemings. 1/4 black. All of his children, some of his children passed for white. Some of them became very famous. They weren't just slaves. They were turned loose. I could name all of them. I have them all written down, but I won't go into all of that. Thomas Jefferson would have married that girl in front of a preacher if it could have been accepted in society. I mean, they wrote some terrible, scathing remarks about Thomas Jefferson, that he would, if he became president of the United States, that the whole nation would be under corruption and under immorality, that they would all, you know, they were going to be intermingling in races. There would be no standards of any kind. You know, America would fall on its face if that horrible man, that horrible, immoral man. And the reason why they call him that, because he's living with this girl. He couldn't marry her. Society wouldn't have accepted it at all. But he had 6 children by her. He never married anybody else. He was married to his wife, which was her half-sister, and to her. That's it in his life.
At the same time?
No. The black girl, he had more children that survived from her than he did his wife. She died. Now, John Quincy Adams, we're just jumping all over, but see, some of you haven't heard these stories. Okay? We come down to John Quincy Adams, and that's not really what this message is about. But I can't leave him off. Andrew Jackson fought him all the time he was president. He couldn't get anything done because they were fighting him. fighting. And then when Andrew Jackson came in, he turned everything around. That sound familiar? John Quincy Adams was one of the most brilliant. He was a Greek, Latin, French, English scholar. He studied the classic, he translated the classic Greek writings into English. He was on the debate society. He was taught in colleges. He was a lawyer. He was a brilliant scholar. And he tried to bring the best of the world into American culture. And he tried. He tried to build America into an infrastructure. He wanted to give America roads. He wanted to give America schools. He wanted to give her a post office, a university, a national university. And they fought him all the time. Fight. Now we talk about a country. If a country is a civilized country, it's got to have a lot. An infrastructure. You wouldn't believe how hard they fought against Thomas Jefferson about wanting to put an infrastructure in America. Thomas Jefferson was very proud of his engineering and his architectural ideas, and they had started building the White House in Washington, D.C., and when Thomas Jefferson became president, he started rebuilding the White House according to his plan, which were good. Well, all of these presidents had some good points. I think without Thomas Jefferson, America wouldn't be America today. Without John Quincy Adams, America wouldn't be America today. George Washington, of course, the father of the country, what we call the father of America. Even though he owned slaves, and even though he fought chickens, he was not too bad a guy. He fought in America, and even James Monroe, that I'm named after. I'm James Monroe Phillips. James Monroe, the president that I was named after. Indians name their kids about after presidents sometimes. The Monroe Doctrine, he was in the boat when Washington was crossing the Potomac, and he was there under fire and everything. These were our founding fathers. Don't forget your founding fathers. You weren't there. They were. Now, one of the things that Thomas Jefferson did is that the Islamic world tried to hijack America and to try to extract jizya, protection money, from America. And that was about one-eighth of the national debt was paying for protection money from the Islamic warriors. Our ships would be captured and everything. And Thomas Jefferson said one thing: I will pay millions for military, but not one dime for protection money. I won't be bribed. And he went and won the wars. That's what we call the Barbary Wars. And we had presidents that had to redo this. James Madison. And then we have John Quincy Adams. People that had to do this. And that's one thing that John Quincy Adams did. He stood hard against Islam. And this is what he said. He said that Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, had spread dissolution over the extensive portion of the earth, and that he had poisoned the sources of human felicity at the fountain by degrading the condition of the female sex and the allowance of polygamy. And he declared that undistinguished exterminating war as is part of his religion against all the rest of mankind. Now, Islam doesn't want you to know that today, do they? We still got an Islamic problem. Now today, John Quincy Adams would be labeled as a extremist, and his words would be censored. He said that Muhammad had declared war on the rest of mankind. The precept of the Quran is perpetual war against all who deny that Muhammad is the prophet of God. The vanquished may purchase their lives by a payment of tribute, the victorious may be appeased by a false and delusive promise of peace. And the faithful follower of the prophet may submit to the imperious necessities of defeat, but the command to propagate the Muslim creed by the sword is always obligatory. When it can be made effective, the commands of the prophet may be performed alike by fraud or force or the sword. He stood. He protected our country. And yet you hear very little about John Quincy Adams, the scholar, the one that wanted to found a national university, a one that wanted to establish schools in America, the one that wanted to build roads. See, this was considered unconstitutional at this time. And today we have roads, and we expect roads, don't we? But when the nation became a nation, there weren't any roads. It wasn't until about 1930 or 40, under Franklin Roosevelt, that a nation had roads. He took the unemployed and put them building roads all across America. He built America, basically. Now we come to another man, a great hero in American country, the common man. This was a man of absolute popularity. Now, when John Quincy Adams was running for president, there was a disputed claim. And finally, the House of Representatives had to elect the president. And when they elected John Quincy Adams, Andrew Jackson and his supporters, and even James Calhoun in John Quincy Adams, he was his man, but he wasn't his man. He was a fifth column that absolutely sabotaged everything that John Quincy Adams did. And Andrew Jackson said he's going to win the presidency. And next time he's going to win the presidency. And he did. And he was a popular vote. I mean, he just, in a landslide, he won the presidency. Remember you quoted that little song a while ago, Sharon? Yeah. What was that now? Can you?
In 1814, we took a little trip down with Colonel Jackson to the mighty Mississippi. And yeah. Then it was we ran through the briars and we ran through the brambles and we ran through the thickets where a rabbit couldn't go. You know, I'm talking about the Battle of New Orleans.
The Battle of New Orleans was a hit. One of the only battles that America ever won against Britain. And Andrew Jackson did it. They declared war against Britain, and Britain was one of the mightiest nation in the world. Britain didn't declare war on us. We declared war on Great Britain. Because they were taking our ships and stealing our ships, and we had few of them, and they were taking our ships and commandeering them and using them. They had a war between France, and now they got a war between France and America. John Quincy Adams said, and he helped what we might institute and develop the Monroe Doctrine. And the Monroe Doctrine was kind of a treaty between Europe and America. Because the Monroe Doctrine said that any European nation wouldn't come over here and try to settle new colonies in the North, Meso, or South America continent, or the islands near them. And John Quincy Adams was a part of it. Now we come to a man that is an expansionist, Andrew Jackson. Andrew Jackson was born March the 15th, 1767. And he lived a long life, in spite of himself, to June the 8th, 1845. He was president from March the 4th, 1829 to March the 4th, 1837. He was in there 8 years. And many things that he did was good for America, but was malicious. He was very malicious. He looked upon John Quincy Adams and John Adams and and President George Washington and Thomas Jefferson as oligarchical rulers. They were a hierarchy of the elite of America. And Andrew Jackson said, "I'm a common man," and he was. He was a common man. His father died when he was very young. And what he did on his own. He was a very brave man. He was a violent man with a violent temper. And he fought some duels. I've once said this, Marilyn laughed. I said, the two of the most dangerous sports in the world are bull riding, riding bulls, and dueling. Dueling and riding bulls. You know, the Professional Bull Riders Association, the PBR and all that. I mean, that is disaster. I'm ridden bulls. I mean, there's bulls out there, especially today. I mean, it's a disaster when you get on one. If you get out of there alive and stay on the thing for 8 seconds, it's a miracle almost. When you fight a duel, you're fighting with a knife, a sword, or a gun. Somebody's going to get hurt or get killed. See, that's a dangerous sport, too. Well, Andrew Jackson was fond of doing that. We've had several duels in the what we call the political leadership of America. We've got duels going on right now with words, don't we? What is worse, the bullet coming at you, or these are lies? Which is more immoral in many ways? Well, Andrew Jackson was a very popular man in America as long as he lived. As Sharon quoted the little song, they wrote songs about him. I mean, he was elected with a landslide when he really ran. If there hadn't been so many people running for president when John Quincy Adams ran, John Quincy Adams would have won easily. But in the next 4 years, actually 5 years, just like what happened to Trump, we have an anti-Quincy, John Quincy Adams. Everything was anti him. John C. Calhoun was on his own cabinet, and yet he was against him and tried to sabotage him in every way. Now, four of the first six presidents of the United States were aristocratic slave owners from Virginia. And you have to realize that they were very powerful because they were educated, except for one. One great president wouldn't even write his own speeches. Did you know that? George Washington. George Washington considered himself as, he was aristocracy, so to speak. He was a gentleman. He was a dealer. He was used to dealing with the whole world because of his chicken fighting. But he did not have a classical education like Thomas Jefferson and John Adams and John Quincy Adams did. They were fluent in French, in Greek, and in Latin. And France at that time was the international language. It wasn't English. Now the English is. They, of course, George Washington did not have a classical education, but he was a businessman. He married a rich woman too, didn't he? And he had some of the best fighting chickens in the world, and they whipped them all over the place. And they won a lot of money doing that back then. Now, here can we call another chicken fighter. But this guy is not an aristocracy. He is a common man. He is a brawler. He is in the bars. He's in the saloons. He's fighting. He's womanizing. He's doing all kinds of stuff, and he's gambling. And he is the man's man. He was a frontier logger. He married a woman that he loved very much, Rachel Donaldson Robards. He served briefly in the United States House of Representatives and the United States Senate, representing Tennessee. He served as a justice of the Tennessee Supreme Court from 1798 to 1804. He purchased property later known as the Hermitage and became a wealthy slave-owning planter. But he was not an aristocrat. He did not have an education. He didn't try to even rub elbows with that type of people. He's kind of like Davy Crockett and Daniel Boone. In 1801, he was appointed as a commander of the Tennessee Militia. And he was elected commander the following year. He led troops against the Creek Indians in 1813 and 1814, and against the Seminoles in Florida. Now, this man was a grisly fighter. He didn't care what he had to do to win. The Creek Indians, the American government was encroaching upon their lands. Andrew Jackson was the author of the Indian Removal Act. Now, this is a dark part of America's history. The Indian Removal Act. He fought a war against the Creeks and then against the Seminoles. Now, these savages, you know, they were in this unsettled wilderness that they were in. This is what they say, okay? But the Creek Indians are part of the five civilized tribes. Now, why do they call them the five civilized tribes? Because the American government civilized them? No. It's because when the Anglo-Saxon world came to the East Coast, they saw from one end of the coast to the other great lighted cities. And there were great orchards, and there were great farms and plantations all over. And they came in here, and the Indians kept them alive because they would have died because they didn't know how to live off the land. They wanted to change America into Europa. There were great plantations, the corn that you eat, the beans, potatoes, the chilies that you have, peppers. Tomatoes were all developed in America. Pineapples. All of this was here. When Columbus came to America in 1492, and you know all about that business, you know, that's what they teach in school. He wasn't the first people to come here. The Chinese were here. America is the Asian America. Indians are Asian. And if you saw pictures of me when I was young, you would think I was... Well, I'd look like a full-blood Indian because I almost was. You know, I mean, I'm almost full-blood Indian. But my eyes were slanted. I was dark, and I looked like a Chinaman or something. When I went to school, the Mexicans knew I weren't Mexican, and the white people knew I wasn't white, so I had to fight them both. Nobody wanted to accept me. They didn't know what I was because there weren't very many Indians around here at that time. And my family came to California to be mistaken for white Okies. Because they took everything we had in Indian territory. And they wanted to own a piece of land that they have a deed to and have something without being run off of it. Now we come off to the run off it business. And that's Andrew Jackson. Andrew Jackson fought the Creeks and he took a great amount of their land in Tennessee, Alabama, and the Cherokees also. You have to realize that some of the Alabama and Georgia and Mississippi, it was not only Creeks there, it's Chickasaws and Cherokees. And the Chickasaws and Cherokees weren't some a bunch of savages running out there with breechcloths on and headdresses. They called them the five civilized tribes because they had plantations. And some of them even owned slaves. They had great plantations. And when they took those lands, they didn't take wild land. They took plantations with mansions on them. And his Indian Removal Act with my family on the Cherokee side, the Chickasaw side of my family, and then later on the Lakota and Dakota side of my family were all ushered into Indian territory, which became Oklahoma later. But Andrew Jackson had part of that. And what do you do to kill these Indians? The Indians lived off the land a lot of times. They had been. They all hunted anyway. Even if they were farmers, they hunted. How do you kill these savages and take their land from them? Well, down, see, some of the Creeks ran off, some of the Cherokees ran off, and some of the black slaves ran off down into Florida, into the Everglades. And Andrew Jackson was a expansionist. What does mean expansionist mean? It means that they were going to take all the Indian lands they could take. And Andrew Jackson, some people that support him so much, says, well, he wanted to save the Indians. He said that these Indians will never be civilized. We've got to let them go off and just act like Indians someplace. They weren't civilized, and they took their civilized mansions. They took their homes. They took their farms that were developed and built and their orchards. There were roads from one end of the United States to the other. Indians were trading back and forth. You could find trade items all the way up here to Mono Lake. That was a great trade center all the way from the East Coast to the West Coast. They'd meet up there and trade, and there's trade items that they found there. All of these trailblazers, you know, heard of Kit Carson, you heard of all of these real trailblazers, mountain men. Davy Crockett, Daniel Boone, and all them. They weren't trailblazers. All they did was follow Indian trails. They just followed the Indian trails. Up there by Onyx, you have that little pass up there. That was the Indian Trail. They named it after a great explorer, you know. What's the name of that pass up there?
That one?
The pass that goes over to Lake Isabella?
Walker?
Walker. Walker Pass. Walker. Walker followed Indian trails. Indian passes. By the way, Walker said that, and Kit Carson said of John C. Frémont, that they'd call him a woman, except it would do damage and to the feminine race. They hated him. He's a politician. That's all he was. Well, anyway, he was an expansionist, too. Well, Andrew Jackson said, I'm going to take America's ruling. I'm going to take all these rulers. He's all oligarchy, and oligarchy is a Greek word that means only a few rule. And basically, that's what we got today. Almost into a despot situation today. When you start signing one executive order after another, you got what?
Dictatorship.
A dictatorship. That's what he called it before, remember. He called it a dictatorship. But no president has ever signed so many executive orders more than what the one we have now that got there. He was a popular president. Everybody in America would have voted for Andrew Jackson except for the, what we might call the educated class. And they weren't very much of that, were they? Did you know that the American Indians had colleges in Alabama and Mississippi? They had colleges, they called them seminaries. And women voted. Woo! Women voted. And men voted in their societies. And a woman could go to college. And a woman could be educated. And a woman could own property. A woman vote. In America, we didn't have women voting until the 20th century. The American Indians' societies were quite advanced. And the societies that they took over and pushed into Indian territory. Now, one thing that Andrew Jackson said, that once we take, and they gave a lot of Indian territory, it was called the Choctaw Nation. And if you look at True Grit and all of that, you know, the movies that's talking about the Choctaw Nation, the Indian territory, into the territory, a lot of this, the outlaws would go in there in the territory because they were all running in to these defenseless Indians, so-called, so to speak. Well, my family on the Chickasaw side came from Mississippi, Tunica Village in Mississippi. They had been fighting white invaders since Hernando de Soto. And the wild hogs in the South got spread in the South because of my family whipped Hernando de Soto and ran him off. And along with his hogs. And they want, these are the big razorbacks and stuff back there. The Spanish used herds of hogs as portable food. And they were tearing up when Hernando de Soto came in there and stayed with the, I think it was, I can't remember the date now, 1500s, 1539 and 40. He stayed the winter of 1539 and left, was ushered out in the spring of 1540 because he wanted to enslave American Indians. They wanted to take the warriors of the Chickasaw Society and turn them into slaves and carriers, you know, like they'd been doing over in Europe. Didn't work. And so the wild hogs got spread all over. And the wild hogs were tearing up the plantations. What hogs do out there in farms? They just tear up the countryside, don't they? Burrow and tear things up. And all winter long, the Chickasaws put up with all of these weird animals tearing up their fields. And then in the springtime, Hernando de Soto was going to enslave them and make them carriers. So they ran him off, and there's where we have the State Plains, and he got killed out there in the State Plains someplace. So that went back off a little bit. Did you know that?
No.
They were great plantations back there in the South. So Andrew Jackson says, we're going to put off a piece of land out there that we think is worthless. So nobody white man will ever want any of it. And we're going to put all these Indian tribes in that worthless piece of land. We're going to call it Indian Territory or Indianola. And no way, if we put them in there, that is an unbreakable treaty. We're going to put them there and we will never break this treaty. We'll never take this land away because we've taken all the rest of it. We've taken all of this civilized land, all these farms and plantations, and we're going to put these people back there and let them either swim or drowned. And so we put them in there. And my family, the Pauls, went in there and they made an empire in Pauls Valley, Oklahoma. But see, that was taken from them too. I'm jumping ahead just a little bit. This is where it all began. Now, what do you do when you got guerrilla fighters that are really tough? Like down in the Seminole, like the Okefenokee Swamp. What do you do? How do you kill these people? They didn't want Andrew Jackson, Zachary Taylor. These people did not want the Indians to be alive down there. They wanted them dead. So Andrew Jackson, which was a dog fighter and a chicken fighter, Emily Tennessee Danielson, which was his wife's niece, said she was what we might call the first lady of Andrew Jackson's administration. She said it was awful hard picking up after the chicken fights in the parlor with blood all over the floor and the walls and chicken guts and feathers everywhere and dogs. There was a brawl in the White House from this man. But now he took his expertise in dog fighting and he said, we're gonna train dogs and breed dogs, bulldog, bloodhound crosses that will kill Indians and blacks. They won't bother anybody. They're going to kill Indians and blacks. And you can look on Google or something and look about the bulldogs and bloodhounds trained to kill the Seminole Indians. The Seminole Indians are a conglomeration of Cherokee, Chickasaw, Creek, and Black. There's some Black Indians down there because they all live together in there. And so Andrew Jackson trained these bloodhound bulldogs to go down there and send them on to go out there in the Okefenokee Swamp and kill these Indians. Now he bred a lot of them because he's going to send a whole, you know, in the Bible it talks about the Therion, about the land sharks, the killing machines. people have trained animals to kill people. Well, the German shepherds we have today was from German, you know, the German war. Germany. We have German shepherds and police force to sniff out things and also to stop criminals. You know, they send them after them. They land sharks. Go get them. Sick them. Well, Andrew Jackson trained these dogs. And they sent them down there in Oregon or the Okefenokee Swamp in the Florida Everglades. And the Indians took those dogs and made friends with them and sicked them back on the whites. They killed a lot of Indians and everything like that, but they turned these dogs back loose on him. Indians like me. Marilyn, you ever seen anybody better with animals than an Indian?
No.
Like a train of fish and a bird. Well, they did. Now are you learning something?
Yes.
This happened. Well, Andrew Jackson was so kind to the Indians, he's going to put them out there in Indian territory, and nobody's ever going to bother them. From then on, that's going to be their land until the end of the world. Except they discovered coal and oil. My great-great-grandfather, Sam Paul, Samuel Eichert Paul, was one of the first Indian marshals in Indian territory. Because a lot of the white outlaws were running off into Indian territory. Now, how come we don't have Indian territory now? Well, after the Civil War, some of the American Indians joined up with the South, the Confederates, because they treated them more fairly than the Union did. And after the Civil War, just for good measures, they took 50% of the Indian territory because some of the Indians had fought for the South. And they used that for an excuse because that was really good land they took. It had gold, it had silver, it had copper, and it had coal, and it had oil on it. So they took a bunch of half of it back. Now that broke Andrew Jackson's treaty because he said this land, this treaties will never be nullified. It is an eternal treaty. We're going to take all this land from the Indians, but when we give them this land, Indian givers, you ever heard of that? When we give them this land, when this whole country was Indian land, we'll never take it back. But they did. Well, he had the popular vote. By the way, the United States government never won the Seminole Wars. Never did whip the Seminole at all. But the Seminole were a amalgamation, were kind of like Indian mongrels, of blacks, Cherokee, Chickasaw, Creeks, whatever. Now when when Andrew Jackson, when he had his White House party, he opened the doors to everybody. They went in there and had drunken brawls. They drank for weeks, for days at a time. Time they got finished with the White House, half the furniture was destroyed. The windows were all knocked out. Sometimes they were burning furniture and throwing it in the fireplace and burning it, using it for fire fuel. They stayed drunk and tore up the whole place because this was his constituents. He did do some good things. He fought the national, what they called the U.S. Bank. The U.S. Bank is like the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is not federal. It's not part of the United States. It is an independent group of financiers and bankers that handle all the money in America and tell you what it's worth. And they distribute it, and they take it. They do whatever they want to with it. You don't vote on it. And Andrew Jackson said what they called the United States Bank at that time is not the United States Bank, and I'm going to take it, and I'm going to disband it. And he did. He said, American people ought to be able to control their own money, and they ought to vote for the people that control our own money. Now, we don't have that right today, but see, we made the mistake. That was one of the things that he did. One of the great things he did was the removal of the Indians from all of their tribal lands into Indian territory. You know, that's what they say, it was a good thing, but it was good and bad. I don't know what good it was. It was good for the United States government because they could put all these homesteaders in there and they could lot off this land. And that's what they did in Indian Territory when they had the land rush in Oklahoma. They're opening up the Oklahoma to white settlement. My grandfather, John Woburn, stood back there when they opened his land up in the white settlement there, and they sold his land off to some white man. And he drove his cattle and his goats and sheep and everything down to the fence that had been his. And they said, "Mr. Wilburn, you try to open that gate and we're going to shoot you for trespassing." He said, "How can I trespass on my own land?" So they killed him in 1905 for trespassing on his own land. This is history now. We can't go back and undo this. But I'm going to tell you, as an American Indian today, I love America. I tell the truth about what America did to my people. But my people, wherever you are in this world, the only hope you have is America. America is the only nation that can protect you from China and Russia and whoever else wants to come and invade the shores. You better stick together. You got to. Well, Andrew Jackson was a man that knew what a dollar and a cent was, even though he gambled a lot in his life and whatever. He did know what a dollar was and what it took to make it. And he paid off the American debt. I mean, America was debt-free in Andrew Jackson's time. He stopped and continued to stop the spoil system against America with the Muslim world. One thing that he did do is he fought against big government. But big government at that time was nothing like it is today. Nothing like it is today. Now this is what he said about the conditions of the Indian tribes. He said, "The condition and ulterior destiny of the Indian tribes within limits of some, get it out from our civilized cities and states." He said, "They will become much interest and importance, maybe." He said, "It's all long been the policy of our government to introduce among them the arts of civilization." We try to introduce to the Indians the arts of civilization when they're taking the civilized land from the civilized tribes, in the hope of gradually reclaiming them from a wandering life. The only reason why they wandered is because they were driven. Now, we talk about the Plains Indians. The Plains Indians were a different situation. But we're not talking about Plains Indians where we're talking about all those. We're talking about Alabama and Tennessee and Georgia and all those states back there, all the New England states. These were all civilized tribes. American Indian. The Iroquois Nation, part of our Constitution is we the people. That comes from the Iroquois Confederation of Faith. And it was a democracy. There was democracy from shore to shore in America when the Anglo-Saxons came here. Now, as I said before, America is our only hope. We made mistakes. The blackest, darkest mistakes were not so much against the black people that were imported here to be slaves. The American Indian were slaves all over. But the American Indians didn't live very long as slaves. They could import the black people. When they imported the black people over there, they brought malaria with them, and the black people are immune to malaria. And so they lived on the plantations. The Indians died. The Indians were civilized. The Plains Indians, And the Indians out in California, they lived in villages, whatever. They just left each other alone and went on. But they wanted to control all the land. Indians were hunted and sold as slaves until as late as 1869. That's 5 years or 4 years after the Civil War. And they were selling them on markets, an auction in Los Angeles, California. The Catholic Church had slave plantations all up and down the coast of California, which they called missions. They were nothing but slave plantations. All this is going on around us. We know this. We need to understand that. Father Sierra, they called him the Butcher of Baja. These things really happen now. There's a book written about Ishi, the last wild Indian in California. Ishi. His family had been killed. They were hunting Indians in California like hunting big game. And they went out. And they did that all the way across America too. You heard of the great hero, Custer. George Armstrong Custer. Why, he even had Indian kids. You know that from Cheyenne. He intermingled with Indians when he felt like it. He said, professing people's wise intentions of civilizing these people is never going to work, he said. So we're going to push them. We're going to purchase lands. And who's he going to purchase this land from when this is all Indian land? They had the Louisiana Purchase. They made a purchase of Florida and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they're buying this land and buying this territory from who? From somebody else that said that the Indians had no rights. The Indians fed the world after what we call the Columbian change when Columbus took potatoes and corn. Can you imagine the world without corn and potatoes and tomatoes? What would an Italian do without a tomato? You see all of this. Europe had wheat and barley. And that was it. America was a land of plenty. There was a lot of game here. And the land, the Great Plains were developed by Indians. They didn't happen. The Great Plains were forests, and the Indians burned the forest off and burned them down every year, every year, every year, and they drove the buffalo, portable food, all the way back to New York across the Great Plains, which were created. They don't tell you about this stuff. But that happened. He did pay off the national debt. He postponed the Civil War. He wanted American Indians to go into the middle of America someplace in Indian territory and have that land forever. That land could never be taken to them and they could just be Indians. They tried to take the Apaches. You know, the Apaches we went after the Apaches with Crook and everybody you can think of. Charles B. Gatewood and Tom Horn and others. Siebert. Went against those Indians. And they want to teach the Indians, they want to teach the Apaches how to be farmers. What they wanted to teach the Apaches to do, they wanted to put them on a piece of land that was worthless and tell them to farm it. Because they already had farms and rancherias all over and great orchards. This is American history. America, with James Monroe, even the man that gave his life to free the slaves in America, the black slaves, not the Indian slaves. Abraham Lincoln, you know, is the most racist president. That's what Biden said, wasn't it? Most racist president that ever lived. Man gave his life to free the black slaves. And they still were Indian slaves for years after that. Half a century. More than a half a century. But we have, in America, we have a a history of sometimes greed and expansionism. But the American Indian had to learn how to live with it. We have. I wrote a book, Introduction to the Thoughts and Customs of the American Indian, to show the American Indian that they did have a God. You know, a lot of them went into nothing but alcoholism. My uncles, my aunts, and them from the Chickasaw and the Cherokee side of my family, they were all drunks. They became drunks. They had no hope. What are you going to do when everything you have is taken away from you, no matter how many times you try over again? You run into just absolutely depression. The welfare system was created for the American Indians. It wasn't created for the blacks or anybody else. It was created to make them wards of the state because they wanted to make them wards of the state. There were Indian statesmen that go all the way back. Some of my family were Indian statesmen. They were senators. They were lawmakers. But they just ignore all of that. But what have we got now? We have got a nation that is so divided, racially divided, worse than it was ever in the history of America. We're repeating all the stupid mistakes that they created and created in the last 200 years. It's all we're living in all over again. We need to quit the racial problems. I can't stop being Indian, but I can be an American citizen, and I'm proud to be an American citizen. And boy, we better think of America first before anything else. James Monroe and Abraham Lincoln said that America could never live with the blacks because there would be so much animosity between them and the white society. They wanted to start colonies like Monrovia in Libya, Liberia. So they could put them over there, but the blacks didn't want to leave. You ought to read the story. There was a lot of blacks that loved being on plantations. William Key, Dr. William Key, was a black slave. Read the story of William Key and the most intelligent horse that ever lived. A black slave that was raised in his family like a brother and sister of his master's children. And became a doctor of veterinarian medicine. He went to war to protect his master's children in the Civil War and did protect them. He was arrested 6 times and sentenced to death because he was the most radical Confederate they said he was. And after the Civil War, he made so much money in the Civil War with these liniments and gambling and things. He was sharp. By the way, he was half white, half black. That he went back and purchased his master's farm that the bank had taken and gave it to him as a gift. He taught a horse how to read and write. Really, how to read and write. Jim Key, the story of Jim Key. Some of the great heroes of America today are villains now. Andrew Jackson's a villain, but he did some good things. One thing, he stood for the common man, even though the common man he stood for was a drunk and a brawler and a chicken fighter and a dog fighter and things. That they looked upon down on that. What George Washington did owned slaves, but he turned them all loose at his death. James Monroe owned slaves. He didn't turn them loose at his death. Thomas Jefferson freed his slaves, especially his family. These men were great men. They did great things. I'll tell you what they did good and what they did bad. People are writing all over. We didn't learn this in school. No, you didn't learn it in school. Not at all. Andrew Jackson was a brick in the wall of America. Yeah, he was a scoundrel in many ways, but he was a brave man. He won one of the only battles against Britain in the War of 1812. He He stood for America. He loved America, I guarantee you that much. We ought to love America. We ought to love America. Again. Franklin Roosevelt loved America. He was a Democrat. And he built America. And of course, the Republicans want to tear everything he did down. But he was a great man. Theodore Roosevelt loved America and he built America. He tried to put it on its feet again. One of the most honest presidents we ever had was Jimmy Carter. Of all the presidents, if I ever wanted to sit down and have dinner with somebody, as Sharon said, I wanted to sit down and have dinner with Jimmy Carter. He was not bright in politics, but he was a great man. A great man. He believed what they told him. That was his problem. He was a nuclear scientist. He was a Southern Baptist Sunday school teacher. But also, he did a lot of things for the common man after he got out of office. And he made some mistakes. But he also did some good things, too. They're all bricks in the wall. I mean, there's very few presidents that were just zero. There were some zero. Zero. They were nothing but murderers and liars and cheats and thieves and politicians. They lined their pockets. They used, abused, and killed people by the hundreds and thousands. We've had some of them. We'll get to them. But right now we're talking about heroes. This is all heroes so far. This hero right here did some terrible things, but he's still a hero. Our Father, we send this message out to try.